I'm Katie.
And I'm Steve, and this is the City of Reading Podcast. In this episode, we talk with Deputy Fire Chief Jay Summerlin about two new programs the fire department has launched to help our community during an emergency.
CERT, the Community Emergency Response Team, not to be confused with the Reading Police CERT Team, is a FEMA-backed volunteer-based program for community members to learn key skills and techniques for use in an emergency. First aid, light rescue, wound care, and fire suppression are all part of the curriculum to turn everyday citizens into the neighbors you want to know most.
Community Connect is a new online portal that allows you to share critical information about your family, your pets, and your home with firefighters during an emergency. This is a secure system shared only with fire professionals that gives them critical information when responding to your home. This optional program helps firefighters with information they wouldn't otherwise know, like fuse box locations, water shutoff valves, and if members of your family have any mobility issues.
Both of these programs are completely free and are designed to make our community safer. They're linked in the show notes below if you want more information or would like to sign up.
My name is Jay Summerlin. I am the Deputy Fire Chief of Administrative Services for the City of Reading Fire Department.
Thank you, Jay. We're thankful that you're joining us today. We wanted to connect with you and talk about a couple things that the Reading Fire Department has going on, mainly the Community Emergency Response Team, better known as CERT, and we'll get into that here in a moment, as well as the fairly new program Community Connect. And we wanted to let the community know about both these things and potentially how they can get involved and what they should know. So maybe with that in mind, maybe let's start with the Community Emergency Response Team. Again, we can just refer to it as CERT if that's helpful. But can you give us a little bit of a brief overview? What is CERT and what should the community know about it?
So CERT is just simply the community helping the community. CERT was developed back in 1985, actually, the city of Los Angeles, because of the amount of earthquakes they have there and large-scale events, they realized that they needed to get the public on board with how to basically survive in a disaster and how to help your neighbor survive. And they took a group of people to Japan because Japan really has a great program set up for how the community can help during large-scale events. And so they went there to see what they did and then developed a program from there. One of the problems with just having untrained the community helping out in a large-scale disaster, and just imagine a large-scale earthquake where there's homes down everywhere, there's people trapped, there's fires, just chaos and mayhem everywhere happening. And you're going to, as a neighbor, you're going to help your neighbor. It's just what we do as a community. But after an earthquake in Mexico City in 1985, there were untrained groups of people performing rescues. They actually performed 800 rescues in Mexico City. But by doing that, 100 of the rescuers actually died because they weren't trained. They were doing things that got them into a position where the incident took their life. And we would like to be able to make sure that we have a program that any citizens that help in a large-scale disaster are actually trained. And that's what CERT is about. Moving forward from there, in about 1986 is when Los Angeles Fire actually developed their first team and started building curriculum around this. And then in 1993, FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, saw the program and helped LA Fire develop it even more, where the curriculum covers all hazards. And so from that moment on, the federal government started putting funds behind this so that communities across the nation could develop their own programs and had curriculum, and everybody was teaching the same thing nationwide. So every CERT team could function together if they needed to. So by 2022, there's actually, across the United States, 2,700 recognized CERT teams, and about 600,000 people have been trained in the CERT program.
And with the CERT program, what will community members be trained to do?
There's a base component of it, basic first aid, CPR, how to triage at a large-scale event where you're able to determine the most critically injured people and make sure they receive care first. We'll teach you what's called light rescue. Imagine a big wall unit at your house that's not secured to the wall, and we have an earthquake and it falls over and lands on a loved one, but you yourself are not capable of picking that large piece of furniture up. We will teach you ways to do that using equipment that you probably already have at your home, or using material from a building that's been knocked over because of an earthquake, those types of things. We're going to teach you fire safety, defensible space, And then we'll probably get into programs like Stop the Bleed, how to use tourniquets and things like that.
Okay. And so is this a program that anybody could join? Like, if do I need to have an interest in first aid, or do I need to have a background in any kind of emergency services to join CERT? Or are you taking anybody and everybody from the community?
We'll take anybody and everybody, and we will tailor the program. Even if we have a disabled person, wheelchair bound, that wants to know more about what they can do in an emergency, this will give them some tools, and we'll work around their disability to show them what they can and can't do and help them be better prepared for the unknown emergency that may happen in their community.
Jay, it sounds like that these are some great skills really most folks can learn and be aware of and get comfortable with. What is the time commitment should someone want to participate in CERT, and is there a cost associated with it?
Right now, there's no cost associated with it. You have to become a volunteer at the City of Reading. The fire department will pick up the cost of the background investigation that you have to do to become a volunteer. And the reason you have to become a volunteer city is we need you covered insurance-wise. So that when we start training, if you get a big sliver on a piece of wood and it gets infected, we can get that covered. And as we move forward, that insurance also covers you if you respond as a CERT team member to an actually declared disaster. We want to make sure that you're covered. Time commitment wise, what we want to do, and since we're all new to this, we are going to set this up. First off, I think we have about 25 people currently that want to be CERT team members. We're hoping for more so that we can start building out classes. Once we determine who and where the people that are part of these courses live, then we start building out a team profile. And we will find leaders within the organization of the CERT team that have been trained, that are natural leaders, that we've trained, given tools to be a leader, and they will then be responsible for a handful of other CERT members. We'll have probably quarterly meetings with trainings, and then we'll probably at least once a year do a large-scale exercise where they can brush up on the skills that we taught them from their initial class and keep proficient in the skills that are perishable.
And is there some kind of certification at the end or some notification somehow that you could like put on a resume or even a college application at some point? Actually, you might be 18, need to be 18 or over. That's a good question, Jay. How old do you have to be a CERT team member?
Actually, there are different programs that take it all the way down into like junior high and high school. So there's not a limit to it. It depends on where we want to go with the program. In the City of Reading, specifically for a CERT team that would respond to this within the city limits to something, you'd be 18 years of age or older. When you get into school programs, it's more in the sense of something happens in the school. Let's say they're doing a fire alarm drill. You can have school leaders that are CERT team qualified that would be part of teacher's aides of getting people out, making sure people were orderly, helping with identifying people that did not check in at the point of where they're supposed to go, things like that. And then in a larger scale event where they do lockdown stuff, they could help the teachers with, again, accountability of the students, making sure everybody is where they're supposed to be, doors are locked, and they're in a safe place, things like that. Plus, they'll know first aid so that they'll be able to help anybody that has been injured on the school premise. So there's a lot of places we can go with it. It's just we wanted to get the core thing set up first and then determine where we were going to go from there and take this organic approach to it, see where it goes, see what the community wants to do with it.
And Jay, are there plans to partner with other agencies or other communities within Shasta County, or is this specific to the City of Reading?
Currently, it's specific to the City of Reading. Most of that has to do with insurance issues. We have not had a sit-down talk with the county yet. I'm sure that they're going to want to follow suit at some point. I don't know if we'll do a joint program, how that would work. It would only make sense to collaborate the trainings, but we have to work through the back-end insurance issues with all the people that we're training.
Okay. And so just to give a for instance, if we could go back in time and say we had a fully operational CERT team here in Reading when the car fire happened. What are some, for instances, that team would have done in that emergency?
Again, back to what are we going to allow people to do? I am not in favor of sending crew, CERT team crews out to take rubble, search for somebody in a fire, or go behind fire lines where they don't have the equipment nor the training to be able to do that. They would be on the city side of things of assisting maybe at road closure points, making sure people don't go through certain areas, be a part of the emergency operations center where we're building plans for where shelters are going to be, dealing with donations from the public that are coming in on clothing, children's stuff, all that. When that stuff starts coming in a large scale event, that is a huge responsibility. And it takes a lot of people and a lot of work to put a functional system together to one, track it. Who'd you give this stuff to? Where did it go? Staffing of the place that you're going to set up, point of distribution, where are you going to distribute the things to? Moving things from point A to point B, getting food to different people that are at different locations. They're going to be a jack of all trades, but that's where I see them right now in an emergency. However, when you're talking about a large scale disaster, and I know earthquakes are very rare in our area, but they can happen. Take that as an example of you have neighborhoods that have buildings down because of a large scale earthquake. If they live in the neighborhood and they can go take a look at the buildings in their neighborhood and have a path to report that back into the fire department, that's one less neighborhood that I don't have to go to and respond to as the fire department and doing what's called a windshield survey of critical infrastructures and damaged property. That's where they would fit in a large scale event like that. And if we're so busy that there's nobody coming for hours to days because it's so devastating here, they will have the tools to be able to gather with their neighbors and to build a plan about how to survive and how to work together and to make their homes safe. So water shut off, gas is shut off, and they'll have direct communications back into the fire department and have a liaison here that can work with them and their neighbors.
Yeah, I'm curious too, talking about CERT here in Reading specifically, it sounds like it's tailored to what our area may potentially encounter with wildfire or other natural disasters or citywide disasters. To that point, how does CERT differ in a more rural area like Reading, maybe compared to an urban area like in the Sacramento or San Francisco Bay Area?
There's rural and then there's really rural. When you get so rural that the community members and your fire departments all volunteer, they get a little bit more aggressive with CERT because CERT members are typically at home or just in the business. It's almost like a mini fire department rescue unit. And they get a lot more active in the community, the more rural you go. Us as a city, we have a paid professional fire department that's very well staffed, very well trained. And we have other fire departments that do mutual aid into our jurisdiction when we get to large scale things. I envision CERT to be helping on the back end administratively and being part of points of distributions, maybe a representative or a worker at a shelter, that nature of things, or be part of road closures. Again, it depends on the makeup of the people that want to do this. And we're going to play it by ear and see where we go with this. We can go as far as we want, but I don't want to put people in a dangerous place where they could get hurt and not have any backup. And that's part of a CERT team, is you work in a team concept. It's not individuals. It's you work as a team. There could be three or four of you together working a problem. And those are the types of things that we're going to teach.
And then how do you coordinate the CERT team members if there were an emergency? Is it just everybody has each other's phone numbers and it goes like through a phone tree, or is there a different way that the fire department actually connects with those people to tell them where they should go and what they should be doing in case of an emergency?
Yeah, as we build out our program, most of it's going to be by phone, followed by radios and communications through radio systems. We haven't gone into the specifics. I doubt we'll put them on our radio system that the city just built out, but the little radios that you can buy at Costco or any sport outlet, family radio services radios that you can buy for backpacking, those types will probably be our primary form of communication in the field because they have about a mile to a mile and a half line of sight type of range.
And Jay, if someone is either interested in more information about CERT or wants to go ahead and sign up, what's the best way for them to do that?
On CERT, the best way is to go to readingfire.org. And when you do that, click on the left-hand side of the page, you'll see these icons, and one of them says CERT. Click on that, and it'll take you to an area where you can fill out your contact information and submit it to the fire department, and we will contact you about your next step.
So let's shift gears now and move into the Community Connect piece. And this is a very recent addition to the fire department. So I'm going to let you set it up. What is Community Connect and why is the fire department reaching out to the community for this?
To back up one step on this, the fire department has pre-planning of every structure in the city of Reading. And what a pre-plan is for the fire department is information about the structure that is either dangerous or need to know about the building for fire protection. And we have a software program called First Do. And that is the interface that the firefighters have. And when they get a call, your address, once you've called 911 and the call's been done in our what was called a CAD system, and it's dispatched out to fire department to respond, your house is picked out from where you're calling, and there's a pre-plan about your home. And I can click on an icon on a large map on top of your house, and it will tell me about your home. That software taps into the county assessor's office, so I'll know how many square feet your home is, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, how many square feet. And when you're doing structural firefighting, if that's why we're going to your home, it's important to know how many square feet your home is, how many bedrooms, if you have a swimming pool in the backyard, because nobody wants to fall in one in the middle of the night, especially when there's smoke everywhere, they're easy to fall into. But we start to look at issues around your home. We also get to see the building department's data so that if you put in a permit to put in something new, you did a patio cover and you're building a new in-ground pool. If you put in for a permit, I get to see in my response what you're doing at your home. What Community Connect does is offers up an opportunity of you as a homeowner to add more information if you choose to do that. And as a citizen, you have the ability to look at putting in information about anybody at your home that has disabilities. Maybe somebody has asthma. You want to make sure that we as a fire department know that. You can put that in, who they are, what their disease process is. Maybe it's somebody has Alzheimer's or they're wheelchair bound and they're non-ambulatory. And so that we need to know that, because if your house is on fire, I have to go in and get you. If you can't walk, knowing where you are, what bedroom you're in, those types of things, that's huge when it comes to the fire department responding to a house. Because if not, I have to search the home. And depending on if I turn left and do a left-hand search pattern or turn right and do a right-hand search pattern, I'm going to go right the entire way around the house and find the first door and start looking that way. If I know your home is to the left of the front door, I'm going to go immediately to the left and I'll find you sooner. So it's you helping us out finding where everybody in the home would be so you can identify where bedrooms are at. You can even put in information about your animals. Like I've done this on my home. I have a Great Dane. His name is Moses. You can take a picture of your dog, put it in there, tell us a little history about your dog, and put in information about your vet so that if something happens with your animal, we know who to contact veterinary-wise, where we can get them arranged to get care. On top of that, you can tell us what your emergency plans are. Like at my home, my emergency plan is if there's a fire, we're going to meet in the neighbor's driveway in the cul-de-sac directly across the street. So that's in there on my home. I tell them where my water shutoff is, where my electrical panel is, so they know if it's what wall it's on at my house. all that information is placed in there. And when the fire department goes to a call to my house, all that information pops up in these little tiles that are color coded, and they can click on it and it will give them more information about what you typed in about it. Like I said, I click on the pet icon on my home and I see a picture of my Great Dane. If I want to get a fire permit and do burning, I can do that also through Community Connect and apply for the permit. And so if I'm going to your home for a smoke investigation and I click on the pre-plan, I will see that you've already applied for a burn permit through the fire department. It's attached to your pre-plan for your home.
How does the Community Connect program and process vary for businesses?
It's the same way to log in, and I'll go over that here in a minute. But a business owner has the ability to verify their phone number, and anytime we respond to their business, you'll get a text message saying why the fire department's coming to your business and to please have a worker meet us at the front door. But that will help us as the fire department, especially with like fire alarms at 2 o'clock in the morning, getting hold of a responsible party that can come and deal with the fire alarm. That'll speed up time and get that fire engine back in service quicker. Plus, you as a business owner know we're coming to your facility. In there, you as a business are also able to put in supervisors, people that were authorized to contact, their phone numbers in case the fire department needs to talk to, again, a responsible party and we can't get a hold of you. Then you can bring in your emergency plans. If you have hazardous materials on site, you can list those, what they are. And again, any information we can get from a business about the hazards of the business beforehand is incredibly valuable to the fire department. You can put in gate codes, things like that. And this is all secured using some of the same technology that banks use for your banking data. So anything that you put in there, it's not readily available to the public. You would have to be a firefighter responding to your business to even see the data.
And I'm assuming, Jay, that this is in an emergency, seconds count. Every second can count and help the fire department do its job better. Listing things like where water shutoffs are and electrical boxes. I wouldn't even thought of that as being an important thing to notate. What are some other things that are really important for the fire department to know about a house to make some of these critical decisions when seconds count?
Some things are going to be like solar panels. Do you have them? Because that limits our ability to ventilate a house fire. And all we shut down all utilities on a structure fire. If your house is on fire, we don't want to get electrocuted. That would be a bad day for all. So we'll shut off all the utilities and we'll run our fire that way. Where if they're, again, disabled people, vulnerable population, that's incredibly important to us. We are there for life safety. We do not want somebody to die in a fire. And the sooner we know, especially on the way, if we are able to open up a pre-plan and see that there is somebody that is disabled in the home, that is going to be the highest priority we have, is to get to those people and make sure that they're no longer in that structure. That's the power of what this software does for us, allowing a citizen to actually update information about their home.
And then I'm also thinking that because this is an account that I would manage as the homeowner, it would be my responsibility to keep it updated. Let's say if I got new pets or maybe lost a pet or had a new addition to my family, that I would need to update that. Or if I moved, for instance, how does the fire department make sure that the information that they're pulling from the system is accurate?
Once a year, we'll reach back out to you and the system will contact you and ask you to update your information. And if you don't reply, it'll be removed.
And Jay, for apartment complexes, I'm assuming it's the responsibility of the landlord to create this account, log in, and provide that information?
Yeah. If you're using it as a business and you want to know landlord-wise, us coming to your property, that has to be done through a business account. We do not notify residents that we're going to their home. Only businesses.
But if I am renting a townhome or a condo, can I create an account and put my information in about my dwelling?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
And Jay, what's your goal for community participation? I'm assuming the end goal is 100%, but what's an industry standard or benchmark that you're shooting for?
I would 100% would be an ideal, but I would expect that probably less than 10% of the public would do this. We're going to encourage it because not many fire departments allow the community to actually tell us what's going on in their home. This is the only actually software that I'm aware of that allows the community to be a part of your own pre-plan for your home and your own safety for your family.
I'm sure in vetting this technology out, you talked with other cities or other organizations who have utilized this technology successfully. Do you have any use case scenarios specifically that this really saved lives or saved a pet's life or really helped in an emergency?
Community Connect's a fairly new component to this software program that we have. Most fire departments that came on board with First Do prior to our agency, they were launching Community Connect in the middle of COVID, and it's really hard to get out in front of the community and let them know what's available to them when all you hear on the news is COVID. And I'm not aware of a case study where it's saved a life. I do know some fire departments have been very successful in getting their community to actually do this. And then it's just about the waiting for a call to your home for the fire department to see something. Multiple fire departments across the United States use this software. It's a great tool to give the opportunity for the public to be able to tell us about what's in their home.
And Jay, I know that there's been some public outreach around the Code Red system throughout the county, including here in Reading, with folks who can sign in for those text messages or email alerts. Should an emergency arise, they'd be notified. How does the Code Red system complement Community Connect or vice versa?
They don't. Community Connect is a pre-planned device to get information to the fire department while we're on our way to your home. Code Red is a mass notification system. So let's say I have a call where I have a chemical leak and I have a plume smoke or something heading a certain way. I can call our dispatch center, Shascom, and tell them I want a quarter mile zone from where I'm standing. And they'll be able to put any phone number that's within that zone into the Code Red system. And you'll get notified immediately that you need to either shelter in place or evacuate because of the incident that I'm running. And that's really, it's a mass communication device.
Okay, so if people are intrigued about Community Connect or excited about the prospect of being able to identify their loved ones and their pets in their house, how can they sign up for this?
Same place. Go to readingfire.org, and on the left-hand side, you'll see an icon that says Community Connect. Click on it, and it'll take you to an entire web page where there's some videos about the process, about what it does for you as a community member. There's a statement there from our fire chief, and you can click on the residential link or the business link, depending on what you want to sign up for. You have to give us a valid phone number, valid email address, and the address that you want to sign up for the program. And once that's done, it will validate your email address automatically with you. It will send you a text to your cell phone so that it will validate your cell phone number, and then you'll be set up. And it will open up a page where it's pretty intuitive. You can click on the boxes and it opens up and you just start typing in the questions that it asks you, and it will put it in the proper format for us, and you'll be done. And you'll have that login. You can log in anytime you want and change information anytime.